Hello, and welcome to Super Ego Forgotten Classics, a bold interpretation of the great works of literature. So bold, in fact, nobody here even bothered to read them. For each episode, our players will not only improvise a famous work of fiction, but one with which they're not at all familiar. They'll be given only the book's title, its first and last lines, and the names of its characters. The rest is up to them. And now, Episode 3, Stranger in a Strange Land, by Robert Heinlein. Published in 1961. Chapter 1, Welcome to Sleeping Here.
Once upon a time, there was a Martian named Valentine Michael Smith. He found himself new in town, looking around at the tall buildings, so unlike his home planet of Mars. This was Earth. This was a city called New York City, the most exciting place in the world. This world, anyway. Valentine walked down the city streets, looking up at the tall buildings, so tall they scraped the sky, scraped it raw. Why, on Mars, everything was so dreadfully flat. This was an exciting change of pace. He had decided to go to Earth to seek a career in the arts. His first stop, the Great White Way.
Watch where you're walking, pal.
Hey, look out. What are you, from Mars?
Wanna buy a this?
Prostitute. Sex for you in exchange for money?
And I'm a sidewalk prostitute. We can do it right here on the cement pond.
Honk, honk, I'm a car!
I'm a Jumbotron. Light. Advertise this, Sanyo.
Oh, I'm crime. Watch it.
I'm a mugger. Where are you going?
Wait, a mugger?
Yeah, give me all you got.
Well, I don't have anything.
Well, everyone's got a wallet or some cash.
This is all I have.
A gem?
Yes.
I've never seen the likes of these colors before. It's so vibrant.
They're everywhere where I'm from.
Where are you from, country boy?
A faraway place, sir.
Oh, Atlanta.
Yes, Atlanta.
Well, look, I don't usually make friends with people I mug, but you seem nice enough. You got any place to stay?
I've just arrived, and no.
Well, I got a one-room studio with a Murphy bed and a Anderson sink and a Klein-Mueller TV. It's really well furnished. Anyway, the point is, I'll let you stay at my place tonight.
Thank you.
What, you got a name?
My name's Valentine.
Valentine?
It's a totally normal name, isn't it?
I don't know, fella. You got a lot to learn about New York City. Like why I have this southern accent.
I didn't catch your name.
My name's Jubal Harshaw.
Yes, it was Jubal Harshaw, the gentleman mugger. He was constantly inviting people back to his home to stay. Valentine entered the door of his tiny walk-up apartment and saw so many people sleeping on couches, sleeping on divans, sleeping on sofas. One guy sleeping on two ottomans.
You mean ottoman. It's plural.
Valentine introduced himself around.
Hello, everyone. I don't know how you all fit in this room.
No room. Jubal, you've done it again.
Well, that's right. I like to keep everything real cozy. Who's this man?
Now, Ben, don't get upset. This is Ben Caxton. He's very suspicious of newcomers.
I don't like you.
My name's Jillian Boardman. I am a woman. And what is your name?
My name is Valentine Michael Smith.
Valentine Michael Smith. What a wonderful name.
Three names. Save some water for the fish.
Now, Ben, that didn't make sense again.
I'm still learning the patois.
Ben makes up a phrase, then he tries to shoehorn it in every place he can. Eventually, even a broken clock is right twice a day.
It comes so natural to you.
Ben, I merely assessed the situation and then went to my personal mind file of expressions.
Stitch in time.
Valentine, what brings you to New York City, the greatest city on Earth?
I want to make something.
You want to make something?
A sculpture.
Really?
Yes.
A sculpture? What kind of sculpture?
I just want to make it out of earth clay.
You mean clay?
Yes.
Valentine, you seem like you might be hiding a secret.
No, I'm just a humble artist trying to find a place for my clay sculptures.
Valentine's from Atlanta.
Is that so? You're from Atlanta, southern gentleman?
Yes, Atlanta.
Valentine, I do believe there's more to you than meets the eye.
How do you do it? Every time, so good.
Valentine, may I introduce you to someone else? This is Secretary General Joseph Douglas. He's a former member of the Security Council of the United Nations. He's seen better days, so be kind.
At ease, son.
A pleasure to make your acquaintance.
I hope you don't mind if I don't stand up, but this divan is so comfortable. You know it's from Broyhill. You see, Jubal Harshaw, our exquisite host, won all of his furnishings on a local game show called Winsome Furnishings.
And all of his clothing is from Botany 500.
That's right, Valentine. Everything you see here was furnished by my long and storied career in game shows. And the reason we're all here is because we're misfits. We don't fit in anywhere else. That's what a misfit is.
I understand.
It's like you try to fit something in there, but the fit is it's a misfit.
Like a round hole in a square peg.
Ooh, so close.
God, fuck, anyway.
There are so many of you here. I've never seen so many beings crammed together.
You got a lot of space in Atlanta?
Yes, flat lands as far as the eye can see.
Flatlanta, that's how it got its name.
That is how it got its name.
You know, sometimes I don't like to say S's after what happened on Wheel of Fortune. Valentine, I'll tell you about it time.
Valentine, you know, I come from the special services of the military. And while enlisted in such things, I was part of a project that I can't tell you about. But what I can say is that it was of a highly secretive nature that had to do with life on other planets.
Oh?
Do you know anything about life on other planets?
Secretary General, how would this dear boy from Atlanta know anything about life on other planets? You're being quite absurd.
He asks everybody this.
Gillian, dear, just hear me out.
It's Gillian, thank you. I don't call you Secretary General.
Jude Point. I don't know, went in my years in the military, given me a sort of sixth sense. And there's something different about you, just as Jillian noted. I don't know. I'm going to keep my eyes on you.
I only plan to stay tonight. Tomorrow I will embark on my art.
Nonsense, Valentine. You can stay as long as you want, and we've got an Ashley Convertibles divan over there that you can sleep on if you'd like.
Now, everyone be quiet. It's time for us all to go to bed at the exact same time.
Good night, Ben.
Good night. Good night, Gillian.
Good night. It's Gillian. Thank you. Good night, Ben.
Good night.
Good night, Jubal.
It's Gooble.
Good night, Secretary General Joseph Douglas.
Good night, Gillian. Good night, questionable Valentine Michael Smith.
Good night, Valentine. Welcome to sleeping here.
And so everyone shut their eyeballs and went to sleep, except Valentine. As he lay astride his Broyhill love seat, he looked up at the ceiling, trying to see the stars above it and wondering, am I going to be a sculptor here on Earth?
Ah, the kindness of strangers. I once spent 10 days in Atlanta, met a fella at a swap meet and slept at his house on his sofa. Best week of my life. I think his name was Phil or Bill or maybe it was Stephanie. Anyway, Valentine sure seems likable, trustworthy, and not at all from Atlanta. Did I miss something? Chapter 2. We've all got our sad stories.
The next day, Valentine awoke with a start. Everyone was rushing around like a goddamn maniac.
Wakey, wakey, eggs and bakey.
I can't find my feet.
My toothbrush, it's gone. Oh, here it is.
Who pissed in the sink?
Who didn't?
Valentine, you piss in the sink?
Of course I did.
Oh, God, good. I thought you weren't a red-blooded American.
Well, I'm off to my job, whatever it is. Goodbye.
See you later. I'm off to mug people. This time, I swear I'll follow through.
Goodbye. I'm off to Russian tea room. Or, for my purposes, tea room.
Secretary General, don't you have somewhere to go?
Oh, yes, I do. As a matter of fact, I dress up as a half-dressed cowboy in Times Square, and I play a guitar. That wasn't obvious to you?
I'd like to see that.
Well, I get a little nervous when people watch me work, especially those that I've shared an apartment with. So please don't come down and discover that I'm not actually there.
It seems you have a secret as well then, Secretary General.
Listen, you keep your mouth shut. Now that it's just you and I want you to know you're highly suspicious, and I intend to follow you all day without you realizing it.
Well, I am off to pursue arts of any kind. Mostly sculpting, some light dance, maybe public speaking of some kind.
Might I suggest a cute little place called Color Me Mine. They have a wonderful assortment of pre-made ceramic figurines that you could paint and glaze and then fire and then take home.
I will take your suggestion. Thank you.
Valentine took the Secretary General's suggestion. Perhaps too soon, he didn't know where to go. He wandered up and down the New York City streets shouting,
Color Me Mine! Color Me Mine!
Eventually, he found what he was looking for and wandered into the sculpting studio. Behind the counter was a lady wearing a smock covered in all kinds of paint and shit. Her name was Agnes Douglas.
Hi, honey. Welcome to New York City.
Agnes Douglas welcomed everyone to New York City. She assumed anyone coming into Color Me Mine, it was their first day in the Big Apple.
And more specifically, Color Me Mine. You look clean and not at all covered in paints. How do we get you started?
I'm here to learn about all things arts.
Well, I don't know about all things arts, but what I do know about all things is sculpture.
Your hands are wrinkled.
Sure they are. I'm 86. Now, are you in the mind for a big salad bowl or a mug or like a tray or kind of cereal bowl or one?
Yes. Is 86 old?
Aren't you a peach? Oh, I like you a lot. You come over here and sit at the best table. I'm going to set you up with a nice selection of things to paint.
I slept in something similar last night, this chair.
What do you mean slept in a chair?
I'm staying with friends.
Well, welcome to our city. Now, here you go. Here's a bowl, and you just paint anything your little heart desires. We like to encourage all forms of expression here at Color Me Mine East.
I will paint the landscape of my native Atlanta.
No, I'm from Atlanta as well. What part of Atlanta are you from?
I am from the best part of Atlanta.
Oh, Madison County. Have you seen our bridges?
Of course. They are dear to me.
Who's your daddy? I feel like I know everyone in Madison.
Valentine was very nervous. What could he do but go along with his very flimsy cover story that just involved a place?
My father's name was Pot Clayman.
Pot Clayman? Of the tobacco plantation Pot Claymans?
Pot Clayman Smith.
That doesn't ring a bell. Well, you know, it's not like Southern people to ever question anyone, so I'd love to meet him sometime.
Why do you live here and not Atlanta?
Oh, well, Outlander, I came here a long time ago to try to make my way on Broadway. I tried out for the girl in the mesh gam sleeves, and I never got cast.
We all got our sad stories,
said someone in the corner. Valentine looked and saw three wizened old ladies, Anne, Miriam, and Dorcas.
Hi, I'm Dorcas.
Hello, I'm Miriam.
And I'm Anne!
We're old ladies who love to make clay things. What's your name?
My name is Valentine Michael Smith.
Ooh, like Valentine's Day.
I made my son because he never fucking calls.
Is that him there on the table?
No, that's a bowl. Here he is.
What a handsome man.
See how he's not on the phone?
Yes.
Metaphor.
I made an ashtray because I smoke like a chimney.
I've never tried smoking.
You should try it. It's only good.
And I made a chimney to give to my good friend because she smokes like one.
It's like I'm the sculpture, get it?
I can't get a call from my son or a gift from my two best gal friends.
We've never made anything for you and we never will.
Oh, Valentine. Is that your name?
It is my name, yes.
What are you making?
I'm making this bowl that's already made.
And what are you coloring on it? Tell us.
I will draw my true heart's desire.
What's that?
Here, look.
Valentine pulled a crumpled up piece of paper from his pocket. He unfolded it and smoothed it out on the Color Me Mine counter. On it was a crude drawing that nobody could make out what it was.
This looks like a bunch of bowls and teacups and plates stacked on top of each other with a big gem on top.
Is that one thing a butter dish?
I don't know. I think it's dirty.
All art is dirty.
If you do it right.
Oh, Miriam.
I'm Dorcas.
I'm Miriam. When will you get it right?
Who am I?
Anne.
And who?
No, Anne.
Of Green Gables.
If you like.
These circles represent the orbits of the planets in our galaxy.
What?
I told you it was dirty.
I dream of galactic harmony.
I love that show.
Huh?
So the guy's an astronaut, and then he finds a galactic harmony in a bottle?
You're thinking of Battlestar Galactic.
Oh, that's right. Frack it.
Valentine, can... I think you should... I don't have anything to say.
Go lie down.
All right. Anne gets that way when she's nervous. She's obviously attracted to you in some fashion.
I'm attracted to all of you.
Now that's dirty. I'm not here.
Valentine, you want to learn how to use the clay things?
Of course.
All right, let's show you ghost style. I'm just going to reach around you.
Oh.
The ladies encircled Valentine with their arms, showing him how to use the pottery wheel. They showed him how to use the kiln. They showed him the refrigerator in the break room. They showed him where all the paints were kept. Turns out they were in a cabinet. Bet you didn't see that coming. Robert A. Heinlein.
You know, you've got a great build for pulling things out of a cabinet. Did you know that?
I suppose I did.
You don't mind my arms around you, do you, son?
No, in fact, I'm becoming somewhat aroused.
Really? Well, let's move over to this corner. I find the lighting to be most, complimentary.
Oh, you might see something I don't want you to see.
What's this? There's an odd bump behind you. It's almost as if there were a tail there.
There are some on my arms as well. Please.
Oh.
Keep me out of the light.
Outside, peering through the window, Secretary General Joseph Douglas looked on and wondered. What did he wonder? I bet you're wondering. Wonder no more. Because here it comes. Robert Heinlein.
I wonder if he's going to paint that squirrel. Or he could go for the oversized acorn. I know what I'd choose. It's probably that nut dish. Either way, I find him to be terribly suspicious. Good thing I directed him toward the very store owned by my mother, Agnes Douglas.
What are the odds? My mother teaches pottery down at the senior center, and sometimes I help mommy clean out kilns and old lady purses. Chapter 3. Aliosh Kondiames Nomiam. What just happened?
Valentine, the thing. Oh, kiln's done. Valentine, take out what you've made. It looks just like your drawing.
Yes, galactic harmony is my goal.
You're a hippie.
I don't know what that is.
Oh, well, good.
I feel woozy.
Why?
Oh, no.
Valentine was having a reaction to all the clay and clay fumes. He fell to the floor.
Oh, somebody get some water or clay.
How about some cigarette ash? Does that do anything for anyone?
No, no.
Okay, one of these days it'll come in handy.
That sculpture's glowing.
Outside, Secretary General Joseph Douglas saw what was happening.
My God, I'm blinded by the light of that sculpture.
Yeah, me too, Jack. I'm just walking by.
Honk, honk, cars!
But have you been swept up like a deuce like I have?
I'm just a building.
Inside the store, Agnes Douglas had called an ambulance.
Thank God. They'll be here any minute. Valentine. Wake up.
And Valentine had reverted to his native Martian tongue. The ladies looked on in horror.
What is that?
I don't like the sound of it.
That's not American.
Valentine burst through the door, not waiting for the ambulance. He ran and ran and ran through all of the streets of New York City. I didn't stutter, every single one of them. Eventually, he could not run no longer, and he collapsed right there on the dirty ground.
Oh, God.
Well, I never. I knew he couldn't be from Atlanta, and now I know why. And to think, after collapsing on a filthy New York street, he's probably just the dirtiest little alien you'd ever care to meet. I knew there was something amiss. Chapter 4. An Ancient Oath.
Valentine woke up to a strange smell being shoved right under his nose.
Hi.
Valentine's eyes opened, and he beheld a kindly face, a man in a white coat, with a terrible smell emanating from him, like really bad.
Take a deep breath. That's right, that should bring you around.
Where am I?
You're on the streets of New York. All of them. Really just one for right now, but from the looks of it, you've been to all of them.
I was frightened and ran.
I can see that. And then you passed out, cold. Allow me to introduce myself. My name is Dr. Stinky Mahmood. Actual character name.
Robert A. Highland.
And I've taken a Hippocratic oath to help those in need. And brother, you look like you're in need.
I've taken an oath as well to help those in need.
Just what sort of oath are you talking about?
It is an ancient oath, sworn by everyone I know.
You know what? You're talking crazy. Let me bring you into my office. It's right here.
I would like that.
The doctor ushered Valentine into a shabby but charming office that smelled pretty bad, but not as bad as the doctor himself. You could tell the places where he spent a lot of time. They smelled more than other places. Like that one chair? Forget about it.
These instruments, do they make music?
What are you, some kind of simpleton? You see, my bedside manner is not that great. I will call my patients idiots and ignoramuses at the drop of a hat. But I think you'll be happy with the results medically. Now, these are medical instruments. I use them to fix up people like yourself.
I hit my head when I passed out.
All right, let me have a look. Ooh, lots of bumps on here. In fact, I've never seen bumps like these before.
Those have always been there.
It looks like you've got bumps all over your body. You know what? I'm no doc. Well, yes, I am. I'm going to make the prognostication that you're not a normal Homo sapien. Am I right?
Please, don't tell anyone.
Who am I going to tell? Your secret is safe with me. I've taken a Hippocratic oath. Allow me to tell you what it says. Do no harm and tell no others about the origin of people and your patients.
Doctor, patient confidentiality?
Sure, if that helps you to understand it, yeah.
Then I'm safe telling you. I am not a human.
What?
Dr. Mahmood's eyes bugged almost all the way out of his head, just shy of popping out altogether. That's how surprised he was. I'm an author. Dr. Mahmood screwed up all of his stink and asked,
"What do you mean you're not human?"
I was born on Mars. I was sent here to strive for galactic harmony. My mission is simple. Convince the war-obsessed Earth humans that harmony is possible. I've brought an offering with me. Would you like to see it?
Yeah.
Let me pull it from these North American dungarees.
Valentine reached into his Earth clothes pocket, but then realized he'd left that gem in a sculpture in the Color Me Mine.
I've left that gem in the sculpture in the Color Me Mine.
Yeah, I heard.
Robert A. Highland.
What's this gem supposed to do, anyway?
I've spent my life traveling from planet to planet in this galaxy, aligning the planets, striving for harmony. Earth is the last planet that I must align. That gem will bring everyone and everything in this galaxy together. The gem has great power.
What sort of power?
It has the power to align Earth to the rest of the planets in this galaxy, accomplishing our goal.
You know, I'm sorry, but, you said your mission was simple. This sounds like kind of a complicated way of doing things.
It's the only way we know how to do this.
The doctor turned away. He thrust his hands deep into his smelly lab coat pockets, and he thought about what Valentine had told him. Then, laying a finger aside of his nose, he turned back to Valentine and said,
I believe you, and I'm going to help you align our planet. And I'm going to assume that it's for good?
Yes.
We're going to benefit somehow from this?
Your people and mine will benefit, of course.
Okay.
My sworn mission is to guarantee harmony throughout our galaxy.
I'm all for harmony, just so you know. So I'm on board. Whatever you need from me, I'm in.
I need to recover my piece of art.
Then let's go. To Color Me Mine.
And so they left the doctor's disgusting office and embarked on their journey to that Color Me Mine from before.
How do you think they got there? Uber? City bus? Private limo? Tugboat? Pink mustache car? Zeppelin? Gary Newman giving them a piggyback ride? Maybe they just hoofed it? Chapter 5. Too many beams.
Meanwhile, back at Jubal's apartment, everyone was snuggled under their blankets to watch game shows all damn day.
Now, this is me on the show called Debt, where Wink Martindale would ask you these pop culture questions, and if you got one wrong, you lost everything. I did, because I called the snake Reggie instead of Richie.
Oh, Jubal, darling, is this the one with the dragon? The dragon sometimes appears. Raw, he says.
No, that's Tic-Tac-Doe, you bean.
How dare you?
Can we please watch Grossmoshe Beslansky?
What?
This famous Russian game show where you put vodka into wheat and then there's a hammer and a sickle and everybody loses because nobody wins.
Just then the door flew open. In rushed Secretary General Joseph Douglas, his hands clutching an unusual sculpture.
I need everybody to move to the other side of the room. Now, what is this?
What is the meaning of this, Secretary General Joseph Douglas?
Avert your eyes right now. It's a command.
Oh, yes, sir.
Everyone looked away as Secretary General Joseph Douglas unwrapped his strange parcel.
In all my days, I've never seen anything like this before.
Can we look now or what?
Before you turn around, I want you to know this is highly sensitive material.
Okay, is this one of those things where we turn around and you got your dick out?
I told you I'd never have that happen again. All right, you can turn around.
Your dick's out.
Oh, I'm sorry. Here, now turn around.
Better.
Ladies and gentlemen, what you see before you, I believe to be some sort of alien death ray.
What?
What?
Bushy boy.
Exactly, Ruski.
I'm clutching my pearls.
Well, clutch them tighter, Tiny Dancer, because what you see here could be the very destruction of life as we know it. You know that hapless idiot who was here before?
Valentine?
Valentine Michael Smith, the stranger in this very strange land of New York?
That's the one.
Robert Heinlein.
He, I believe, has brought this destructive device down to our planet.
What do you mean, our planet? Isn't it his planet as well?
He's from Atlanta.
That's what he would have you believe.
Well, fuck, what?
I believed it.
I never doubted.
No offense, but none of you are part of military intelligence, of which I am. Now, I have inside knowledge that that young man, Valentine Michael Smith, is not of this planet, but of another planet, namely Mars.
Everyone lost their shit. They began running around the apartment, clutching at their hair and stuff, and yelling,
"Oh, no!"
The Secretary General calmed everyone down by saying,
"Please contain your shit. If we don't keep this from that young Martian, all that you know will be lost. The planet will explode. You see this glowing object here? It's a gem from Mars. And if I know my gems from Mars, it's soon to beam some signal up to the mothership, which will in turn turn another beam down on Earth and then blow us up."
Too many beams.
Now that you all believe me, I need to enlist your help in luring him back here in a trap that we shall all set. Are we agreed?
Yes, we're terrified, so yes.
Unequivocally. Da.
That's everyone.
So just the three of you?
Yes, we're the only people here.
It'll have to be enough. Now listen closely, take a knee.
Is it all right if I just lean on my three-pronged cane?
That'll be fine, yes.
Thank you.
The Secretary General outlined his plan in teeny little whispers.
Okay, so the mugger and the Russian and the old lady, pretty much everybody thought Valentine was from Atlanta, right? I feel better. I'm not a total metal gentleman. Phew. Chapter 6, Weird Ways.
Meanwhile, at the Color Me Mine, Valentine was given some bad news.
What? No, that sculpture's not here anymore. I thought your friend came and took it.
Dorcas, describe my friend.
Well, he was like a military-looking guy. Very suspicious of everybody.
Did he say anything to you?
Yeah, he said, "My name's Secretary General Joseph Douglas. I think that guy's a Martian, and I'm taking this sculpture because it's a weapon, probably." Is that bad?
Yes, it's terrible.
Are you gonna pass out again?
No, I don't think so. I've been examined by this doctor.
Oh, a doctor!
Is he the one who smells like wet garbage?
You'd be perfect for my son.
Does your son like a lot of stink?
Yes.
Well, send him over.
Take a whiff of me. I smell like Limburger on a factory line.
If you're any indication, your son sounds great.
No time for love, Dr. Stinky Mahmood. It is of vital importance that I collect my piece of art.
How much time do you have left?
It's just a piece of art.
As the the Earth sun sets, our window closes.
We just say the sun.
Well, that's in 45 minutes.
Then I'll tell you, Valentine, we better get over and find this thing, pronto.
I can take you there.
What are we waiting for? I'll meet up with you later.
Me?
I mean your son.
Well, it could be me. I mean...
maybe the three of us.
I'm definitely into that.
As Dr. Mahmood negotiated an incestual three-way, Valentine walked out onto the street. He looked down at his feet and saw something. A colorful disc. He picked it up and put it in his mouth. It was goddamn candy. He noticed another colorful disc, and another in a line leading down the street. He picked them up one after the other and put them in his pocket.
These are great. They're like M&Ms, but peanut butter.
Are you fucking nuts? You're eating food off the sidewalk. This is New York.
Oh, more and more of these.
You Martians sure have weird ways.
Please don't say that so loudly. Someone might hear. Look, a whole pile of them. There must be hundreds there. Oh, no.
Suddenly, Valentine couldn't see anything anymore because something was obstructing his vision. Could it be a burlap sack was now covering his head? Probably, because that's what was happening. Robert Heinlein.
Out go the lights, Valentine. That sounded like the creepiest possible van as well. I don't like where this is headed unless it's a mobile discotheque like the one I visited while I was in Atlanta. It's where I met Stephanie. Chapter 7, A Real Live Martian.
Valentine could see nothing but tell that he was traveling. And traveling for a very long while. Eventually, he stopped, and he heard Secretary General Joseph Douglas talking to another man.
You got credentials? This is a highly classified base.
Listen, Captain Willem Van Tromp, do you not know who I am?
You're that dumb son of a bitch got fired from this place. Ran out of here on the rail.
Right. Yeah, I guess you do know who I am.
You're a lunatic.
That's what they said.
It's truth. You're in the handbook now for crazy shits.
You mean you've actually remade the handbooks and put an entry in that shows my picture?
Ask these recruits, Duke and Larry.
Hey, look, it's the guy from the book.
Hi.
Hey, how crazy are you? 100%?
Look, I know of my reputation around here. For years and years, I maintained that there is life on other planets, and I was run out of here on a rail, as that gentleman said.
Yeah.
Can I have your autograph in the book?
Hey, make a cuckoo clock sound.
Where's the steam coming out of your ears?
There's no time for your witty riposts and jibes. We've got serious work to do.
Hey, who's this guy you got in with a bag on his head?
Take a good steamy look. What you see before you is a real live Martian.
Oh, is that so? I dare you to take that bag off.
Get ready, gentlemen. Feast your eyes on this.
Hold on a second. Let's get ready.
Oh, I'm sorry.
All right. Hey, Duke, what you think? You ready?
Hold on. Let me get my footing.
Captain, you ready?
You better believe I'm ready.
All right. I guess I'm ready, too.
Gentlemen, prepare yourselves to look into space.
And with that weird intro line, the Secretary General whipped the burlap bag off of Valentine Michael Smith's head.
Hello, I'm Valentine Michael Smith.
Boo, I thought you were going to be weird looking. You just look like a dude.
He looks like a man.
Crazy as you ever were there, Secretary General.
Yeah, this didn't make your case that you ain't nuts.
Well, maybe I built it up a little too much. But when you get to know him, and when you find out his real plan for our planet, I think you will have the right amount of fear that I do have for him.
Ooh, let's ask him if he's a Marsh person.
Okay, are you a Martian?
I am.
Oh, he admitted it!
Whoa.
Okay, guess you're not crazy after all.
Stop the presses!
You're telling me this human being's a Martian?
He just said he was, Captain.
Yeah, well, I've heard some crazy shit in my time.
Listen, he's as Martian as they come. And I want you to get your crazy scientific instruments over here and start dissecting this guy so we know what makes him tick.
Let's bring him in and get a look at him.
Yeah, let's chop him up.
I want a wing.
Please, do what you must. As long as I can have my piece of art.
That piece of art he's talking about. That's his beacon of destruction. It's a doomsday device meant to blow up our entire planet.
This looks like a color me mind.
My granddaughter made me an ashtray and painted a frog on it.
My granddaughter made a frog, put an ashtray on it. I gotta go. There's a horizon that needs walking into.
You dumb son of a bitch. You brought a Martian to a military base.
You're damn right I did. So I could finally prove to you people that I belong here. That I was right all these years.
I don't know, Captain. He seems like he's making a lot of sense now. He did bring this Martian we gonna chop up. I mean, we all just let him be who's gonna be. Oh, you're back!
Yeah, the horizons are overrated, I guess. The more you walk towards it, the more it don't get closer.
Please, there's no need for alarm. As long as my piece of art is with me, everything is going according to plan.
Hey, y'all feel something strange happening to the Earth's core and crust and such?
Everyone take cover.
The whole room began to shimmer and shake and shimmy and
shudder?
Shudder, thank you.
Whoa!
Hey, oh my!
Look at that. I'm laying on my feet!
Magic fingers!
Everyone was looking around like, what? And then Valentine, a beatific smile on his face, said,
welcome to Harmony.
The planets are aligning.
Hey, what's going on? The Earth feels straighter.
Good God.
What's happening?
By George, a miracle.
All the military men picked up their guns and threw them in the trash can.
Well, won't need these no more.
Dismissed, everybody.
Forever?
That's right. No more army.
Hooray! Military's out!
I'm gonna take up swimming!
Valentine Michael Smith, come here.
Valentine walked towards the Secretary General, his hand outstretched in greeting, or potential greeting. I mean, they'd met each other before. This was for friendship stuff.
I think I owe you an apology, son.
Thank you. It is an honor to bring peace and harmony to this planet.
Right. You see, I just assumed that you had evil intentions upon coming here, and that this device of yours was meant for harm. And if you think your Martian lies fooled this soldier, then you're sorely mistaken.
The Secretary General reached into his coat pocket and pulled out... Ooh, no, it's a knife.
That's right. It's made of Damascus metal.
That's the toughest kind. The Secretary General began stabbing and stabbing and stabbing. Valentine was the recipient of all the stabs.
Soldiers, get your guns out of the garbage cans.
Oh, man, this guy ain't on board with everybody with the harmonic convergence of the planet.
No, Martian friend. My first Martian.
The soldiers drew their guns and shot the shit out of that Secretary General. He was a bad guy who ruined it for everyone.
Goodbye to bad rubbish. You was the worst, Secretary General. Turns out you was crazy after all.
Please do me the favor of calling my mother.
No one could look because of the blood bubbles.
All right, I'll call your mom.
Her name's Agnes.
Yeah, I know. She told me last night.
Good one. Also, I fucked her.
Yeah, that's what I... Well, okay.
And that was the last thing the Secretary General ever heard on Earth.
Martian man.
Duke cradled Valentine's head in his arms.
They're there.
Sorry, Duke's arms. Not Valentine's arms.
God.
Valentine... Duke did not force Valentine's head into his own arms.
He's dying.
Robert A. Heinlein.
Martian man.
My name is Valentine.
You have a name? My name is Duke, the Sludge Man. I come from a swamp. People haven't understood me either.
I hope that when I'm gone, you will remember me.
Pretty hard to forget.
Please, put my piece of art in a museum for everyone to share.
I'll do that and more. And you're telling the truth? No one's ever gonna fight again?
Yes, no one will ever fight again.
How did you do it?
Just a lot of hard work and a whole bunch of elbow grease.
Valentine began glowing like a really high-end nightlight. Eventually, he became all light. And when Duke looked down into his dumb hands, there was no more Valentine. There was no more light.
Well, all I see is tanks and guns, bazookas, mortars, and pestles. Instruments of war. We're not going to need those anymore.
Duke looked around at the barracks. All the war posters on the wall. How silly they seemed now. He looked at his friends. He looked at the world. He could see a lot of changes he wanted to make.
And that's how Stranger in a Strange Land actually ends. With a hyphen. Mid-thought. Some poor fella gets cut off mid-sentence. Time to do the same to this episode of Forgotten Classics. Produced by Matt Gourley and James Bladen, with Mark McConville. Directed by Matt Gourley. Edited by James Bladen with Matt Gourley. Additional music by James Bladen. Improvised and performed by Paul F. Tompkins as Robert Heinlein, Dorcas, Killian or Jillian? Jillian Boardman, Larry, Street Prostitute, A Car, Cars Plural, Crime, and the Irascible Man Number 2. Matt Gourley as Jubal Harshaw, Ben Caxton, Agnes Douglas, Anne, Duke, Irascible Man Number 1, This Salesman, Sidewalk Prostitute, A Building, and a Jumbotron. Mark McConville as Valentine Michael Smith, Walking New Yorker, and Captain Willem Van Tromp. James Bladen as Secretary General Joseph Douglas, Miriam, and Dr. Stinky Mahmood. And me, Jeremy Carter, as Jeremy Carter, the narrator. Carter. If you liked what you heard here today, make sure to download the regular Super Ego podcast, available wherever free podcasts are available. Thank you for listening to Super Ego Forgotten